Empress Eve is here today, telling you what she's got to say. Empress Eve is here today. Hello, 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 good people. It is I, the Beijing Empress, here to share her walk. News on news, relationships and current affairs and anything else that takes my fancy, quite frankly. And it's been a while since you just had the pleasure of me on my own, by myself, expounding on topics that I am fascinated with. And you're not really having me on my own in so many words, because I'm reposting episode I did a little while back about Boris Johnson, called "The Beijing Empress Exposes Boris Johnson, His Lies, His Racism and His Incompetence." And I thought I would repost this one because here in the UK, Mr. Johnson got himself in another pickle in terms of corruption. Well, he had a lot of pickles over the last how many months. That show aired in December 2020. And since then, he's had numerous pickles. And that's putting it mildly, with over 100,000 people dead from COVID over here because he did not want to deal with what scientists suggested he did. He didn't close borders. When COVID first came out, he was boldly on television claiming he didn't take it very seriously. He wanted herd immunity. If he knew anybody with COVID, he was going to go and shake their hand personally and say hi. And we have lived through the ridiculousness of that. So things kind of coming back to sanity a little bit now with the COVID side of thing. But he's got himself in a new pickle with his partner, which name I don't know, Carrie something. Carrie Simmons, I think she named. And they get £30,000 a year to refurbish their premises at number 10 Downing Street. And on top of the 30,000 they get a year, apparently Carrie and Boris decided that wasn't enough. They didn't want to go to some cheap shop to go buy their stuff. And they borrowed a further £58,000 so they could do up their little flat above 10 Downing Street premises. And they decided to buy £850 a roll wallpaper. That's one of the things. And there's lots of other scandals Boris got going on. He's also in a pickle because of comments apparently that he made when he heard about another lockdown coming up that he was against, that all of the British people should pile up in the thousands and he would not care. He's telling you what kind of man he is. So, yes, he's a being held up for his corruption, for he, his friend Dominic Cummings, now turning on him, you know, just like Trump friends turned on him when he finally realized he couldn't bail them out or he couldn't get them anything they wanted anymore. So now they're all turning on each other. We shall see how it ends because people expect politics to be corrupt. So I'm not calling myself skeptical. I am calling myself pragmatic. When I say, well, if it's to happen, it should happen a long time ago. It ain't no big deal if it happened now. And if it doesn't happen that he's removed from office, then we know that people have lost their minds, no longer hold anybody in the public eye to any high standards. And the world has definitely lost its way. Because it's just more of the same thing. As you will hear when you listen to the episode, the reposted episode today. So tune in, see the Beijing Empress has a very prescient mind. She knew he was going to do something else. And so I think it's helpful for us to look back and review the many, many scandals Boris got now compared to the scandals he had then. And see that it is a very narcissistic Trump-like personality that he has, because he's a British man, from the upper classes and speaks in a certain kind of buffoon type way, he gets away with it. People think he's charming. You know, that's what Trump supporters used to say. He talks just like us. Well, the working class people over here who don't like people of color, who don't like foreigners, they'd rather hang out with corrupt Boris and believe that he's a nice guy because he acts like a buffoon. Therefore, he's more like them, even though he is as far removed from them in reality as it's possible to get. His name is Alexander Boris the Feffel Johnson. So that is not your average working class name. You see what I'm saying? But yes, he learned to pull the wool over the eyes of those who have their own prejudices, and they don't really care how corrupt he is. They just want somebody who represents their own prejudices and their own fears. So I hope you enjoy the repost. I will be back, I promise you. As the Beijing Emperor, no other guests, no nothing, but not right now. And in the meantime, remember to check out my counterpart, Evan Moore's Write a New Song, A Week for a Year challenge that she got going on. I've been listening. She got some kind of, she quite good, you know. She quite good. I like some of the songs. And she just give you the backstory and the teaching behind the song that she write. And she just post it every Sunday. So make sure you check this out. And we got some more Heart Talk guests coming up in May as well. So until the time I connect with you again personally, I have this kind of conversation that we like. Until such that time come, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the show. Here we are now, another show. I am your host, the Beijing Empress. And I like to share my warped views on current affairs, news, relationships, and entertainment. And today, I thought I would focus on news. News in the form of the UK Prime Minister, Alexander Boris the Feffel Johnson. You know, you're dealing with somebody who live a life of privilege when your middle name is the Feffel. You know, it's only the aristocracy that get away with that kind of nonsense name. They talk about black people and the Shanishas and the Shaniquas. They need to go down the route of looking at the UK aristocracy and seeing some of the names, some of these Tarquins and the Feffels that are out there. That's all they saying. Call your children what you want to call them. But that is saying a lot. I thought, I have something to say to Boris, because the UK now is practically in a state of national emergency. Supposed to be leaving the EU officially at the end of December. There ain't no deal with the European Union. They lie about everything that they're trying to achieve. They're lying to the public on a daily basis. The COVID-19 thing going on here in a bad way. The highest death rate in Europe. Now they're trying to leave the EU. A lot of the people that has worked for the National Health Service over here who come from the European Union, a lot of them come from countries that the, let me call them nationalists, cause the R word too easy. The nationalist British folk who don't like people with a hint of colour or a hint of an accent or who have more than one language they can speak. A lot of these people that's worked for the NHS and keep it going, keep it running. And a lot of them are going through a lot, including the whole Windrush thing that happening here in the UK, where they're sending people who live here their entire lives, they're sending them back home. They have the audacity to say that. Sending them back home to the Caribbean. Because the UK government decided to change its policy on who allowed to stay here and who are not. And people are being sent back. With no question, they're doing it on the down low. You only find out when you're on the airport tarmac, getting on the plane, and some lawyer trying some last minute thing, talk to the press and say, please stop sending these people back. It's happening on the down low here. Boris Johnson approved that. Boris Johnson is known to be frugal with the truth. Very frugal with the truth generally. And that's a very nice man. But, you know, like a lot of UK people, you know, UK is known for having, particularly England, I don't even know if it's Scotland, Ireland or Wales, but particularly England, and again, it's this whole upper class aristocratic thing where you're very, very polite while you're dismantling somebody's personality. You're very, very calm while you're being racist or sexist. You use nice, big, long words. That's what they do over here. Very subtle. Sometimes you don't even know you've been abused till you walk around the corner, go up the stairs, open the door to the front door of your house, sit down, make a cup of tea, and you say, hold on a minute. Hold on. What that person meant by so-and-so. I give you an example of that. I was chatting with a man. I getting back to Boris soon. Hold on. I was chatting with a man the other day. We just having a pleasant enough conversation. He very friendly with me. He like to talk to me every time he see me. Act like me and he is best buddies. I know better because I know a wronger when I see one. But this fella sitting there talking about people up north who going to have much more cases of COVID than the people down south. Because, you know, a lot of these families are very close-knit. A lot of these families that are very close-knit come from certain communities. And he put the emphasis on communities, you know. And if you're in the UK, you know that up north, there's a lot of people from Asian descent that live up there. Places like Birmingham and Manchester, all that kind of place. So when he emphasized in community, he and I both know who he's talking about. That's the kind of subtlety I'm talking about. So, you don't realize till you get old, sit down, make your cup of tea, put your foot up and go, hold on a minute. But, you know, I's a quick study, so I know what them people talking about. So at the time I tell that man, I don't know if it's more prevalent up there or not, my friend. Exactly what is it that you suggesting? And he had the audacity to look bashful. I used to them now. So I know how to deal with them, you know. I tell them this truth. I tell them straight. We'll get back to Boris now. So let me give you an example of how people that know Boris, Alexander Boris the Feffel Johnson, think about him. His former boss, Max Hastings, had some words to say about Boris and his character and his fitness for office. Let me read it to you word for word. Most politicians are ambitious and ruthless, says Max Hastings. But Boris is a gold medal egomaniac. I would not trust him with my wife, nor from painful experience, my wallet. Yes, Max said that. He wouldn't trust him with his wife or his wallet. Let me carry on. His chaotic public persona is not an act. He is indeed maniacally disorganized about everything except his own image management. He's also a far more ruthless and frankly nastier figure than the public appreciate. Max said his words, you know. We already know he disorganized. We see the COVID response over here. Finally, he go on to say, Johnson would make a wretched prime minister. For wretched, he mean terrible. I don't know what they can just say with me. He is not a man to believe in, to trust or respect, Max continues. Save as a superlative exhibitionist. He is bereft of judgment. That means he ain't got no judgment. You see what he's talking about? He's bereft of judgment, loyalty, and discretion. Only in the star-crazed, frivolous Britain of the 21st century does such a man have risen so high. And he is utterly unfit to go higher still. That is a man that knows Boris back to front, inside out, telling we what he thinking. Another thing, let me tell you something. If you want to find about Boris, there's a whole website dedicated to Boris Johnson's lies, falsehoods and misrepresentation. You want to check it out? It's Boris-Johnson-lies.com. boris-johnson-lays.com. Oh, a website. I is not joking, because the man is lay regular. He just obfuscate the truth. That's the kind of word he would use. Obfuscate. He just obfuscate the truth. He already known very well for he very racist comments. And he actually wrote a novel where he actually used the N-word and tried to justify it. Let me see if I can find this thing now. Because I found it the other day. I said, I can't believe this man had the audacity to write this thing. Hold on, man. Let me get there. So, in a 2004 novel, I find this on Wikipedia. Johnson described the thoughts of a black parking inspector who had been subjected to racist abuse. I ain't reading the whole thing because it just sounds like Boris writes it. Trust me. But anyway, let me go. The more acute are the warden's feelings of pleasure that they, the stateless, the outcasts, the niggers, yes, he said it, he wrote it, I black, I allowed to say it, it's not a word I would normally use, he put it in the novel, are a valued part of the empire of law. That was his writing, he novel, in 2004, it wasn't in 1962, it wasn't in 1977, he already know what that word mean, he know the impact writing that word would have, and he wrote it anyway. This is the man that running the country, that representing the whole of the UK, which is highly multicultural, just to be clear. Then he was known for his Islamophobia, and I know a lot of people are Islamophobic these days, you know. They blame the entire religion for the extremists in the religion. I don't notice people blaming the entire Christianity for the extremists in Christianity. There's extremists in Christianity and there's extremists in Islam. So I know lots of people out there who think it's perfectly reasonable to talk about the Islam peoples in the way that they do. And one of the things he's known for is saying that women who wear the burqa, which is the full-length outfit, or the hijab that a lot of Muslim women wear, have opinions about women wearing that. But that's what they wear. Who is you to tell them what they should and shouldn't wear? Are you doing the same thing as everybody else? If you're telling them they shouldn't wear it because it's oppressive, and you're saying that they're oppressed because they're wearing it, you're doing the same thing as everybody else. You're telling them what freedom should look like to them. But he said that they shouldn't want to walk around looking like letterboxes or bank robbers. That's the word he used. In a country where people are already offensive and abusive to Muslim people generally, when a political leader talk about people like that in that way, just like with the Trump, and he ways of inciting his base to become more racist and brave about it, Johnson have the same trademarks. You know, he like to say things without supposedly thinking. He like to act bumbling, but he ain't bumbling at all. He know exactly what he doing. In fact, the whole of the Brexit campaign was based on appealing to the base of people who don't like foreigners, who don't like people of color, who don't like people who speak languages they don't understand in front of them, because they want to know everything that's going on all the time, and they automatically assume that if you don't speak in the language, when they're in front of you, that you're talking about them. You know, they're insecure like that. There's a certain section of the population. I know I live here, man. I ain't lying to you. So, he known for that. He known for lying. He known for somebody you had to hide your wallet from, according to your former boss. And now, he lied about having a deal with the EU. He calling it an Australia-type deal. Except Australia ain't the UK and it's not in Europe. And they don't have the kind of deal Boris trying to pretend they have. So instead of saying, I messed up, I lied to you when I tell you I had an oven-ready deal. I lied to you when I tell you it all gonna work out fine. We know just what we're doing. The EU need we more than we need them. Instead of saying, I lied to you about that, he said, no, it's fine. It's going to be fine. We got this Australia type deal. And let's bear in mind, this has been 4 years in the making, you know, down to the wire. We are in the middle of December and the UK leaving the EU officially in the end of December. They're still trying to do a deal. So he lied about having the oven ready deal. He lied about no having a deal at all. He lied about how much money going to the EU from the UK in the first place. He lied about how much money we just get from the EU. He lied about we'll be able to travel across Europe like we did before and stay in Europe like we did before. He lied that it ain't going to affect the food. It ain't going to affect the prices of things. Because when you're trying to move things from Europe to the UK, it used to be freedom of movement. And now it isn't anymore. Now you're going to have lots of paperwork. They even build a lorry park in Kent. And Kent in England is in the nice middle class area where all the middle class people like to live. And they know for the green leafiness and the, you know, the middle classness. And now they have a giant lorry park all across the whole of Kent there. So that the people that come from Europe, the truck drivers that bringing me food and me supplies, they have to stay there, do the paperwork. I ain't gonna clog up the whole system. Gonna create more and more traffic problems. It's going to be a very challenging time. But he didn't tell people like that. People things about that. Just like Nigel Farage. The two of them is best buddies, you know. They know what they're talking about. They sit there and go, how can we get in power? How can we make money? And Johnson already know now for giving one of his ex-girlfriends contracts that they shouldn't have had, they wasn't qualified to have. In fact, the whole of the Conservative Party out there making money, sharing it with the best buddies and making money off the pandemic with the PPE supplies and all kind of thing. This is just quite a corrupt government, and Boris Johnson heading it. So we in a bit of a scary place here in the UK. Nobody know how things going to turn out. They don't know if we going to have access to the same medicines we had before. They don't know if we going to have to sell off the NHS because the only people we trade in now with is the US and Canada or something. So they don't know if we going to have ridiculously priced medicine products now. Like for now, it's relatively free and affordable. And if you're ill, you don't have to worry. Nobody can guarantee that. Businesses shutting down all over the place. Companies that was all for Brexit and want Brexit, now they're seeing that the chaos that coming from Brexit, they're moving the company out of the country. There's a lot of that going on. Read up on it, man. I ain't joking. Boris Johnson at the helm of that. He had the opportunity to say this is not working out. Let me just renegotiate at a later date and stay in the EU till we get clear about what exactly is we can compromise on and what we can't. Trying to fit it all in and push it all through just because he wants to get it done and look like somebody who's keeping word when we know he's a barefaced lying man. That is putting everybody at risk. Like I said, the COVID debt rising. He opened up tier systems where some people are allowed to go out, some people not. You're allowed to go to the pubs and the restaurants, and then you're not. You're allowed to gather at Christmas, and then you're going to be on lockdown. Then you're going to be on lockdown, and then you're going to be not on lockdown. You must work remotely, but you must go to work. You must travel on the buses to keep the buses running, but you must stay home. That is how it has been here. This is Boris DeFeffel Johnson. He's a right DeFeffel, I can tell you that. I would like to defeffle you in your head, right upside your head. I would like to do that. I'm not joking. I'm not vexed with the man. I'm just telling people the truth. There's problems, man. He's not a man that seems to be capable of commitment generally. And how he find the women, I don't know. I don't know who his barber is. But then he need a new barber. I don't like to disparage people for their look. But it's hard to get a decent haircut. A new suit maker. Again, I don't like to disparage people for how they dress, but he got money coming out to his backside and he can't afford a decent suit. So he's just a man that he's a chancer, you know? He's a chancer who know how to play the buffoon when it suit him. But as he ex-employee say, he ruthless. you're willing to step over all kind of people to do what you want to do. So, Boris Johnson, my final word to you is, when you're wrong, admit you're wrong. When you don't know what you're doing, say you don't know what you're doing. When it affected millions upon millions of people, not just here in the UK, but in Europe too. There's people in Europe who are expats. They don't call them immigrants, you notice? Expats. There's people in Europe who can't come and go like they used to. There's people that live here, they can't live here anymore because of you. There's people that live in Europe who can't travel to the UK like they used to. You're affecting millions and millions of people because of a few partisan, prejudiced folk here in the UK. And even now, they say that 57% want to stay in the EU. So even the will of the people, they can't even say it's the will of the people anymore. For the 40% that want to leave, if you ask them why you want to leave, they will tell you, we don't want no more foreigners here. We don't like these open borders. We don't like people coming from everywhere to we country. And we could put that down to the R word again. This is what we're going through this for. Some ignorant people who don't like people that don't look like them, don't sound like them, and have a hint of colour in their skin. This is what Brexit is really about. It ain't about taking back nothing. It's about going back to the days of empire, when this teeny tiny little island was out there doing terrible things to people all around the globe, stealing their stuff, putting it in their museums, putting it on the royalty head, the queen wearing jewels that don't belong to she. They want to go back to that time. And that's what this is about, ultimately, you know? So, I don't know why you people would make of this. I thought I would talk about it because it's imminent. And you should pray for we, if you're a praying type. You should definitely pray for we. And if you're not a praying type, you should sympathize with we because I tell you, it's going to be crazy over here. But I can do my best to keep people uplifted. I hope you enjoy my little journey down the road of Boris the Feffer Johnson. And I can see you next time. Remember to like and rate the podcast wherever you listen to it. And I will speak to you soon. All right. Love you. Bye.